T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 at WIP. Spike Eskin with us at 11:30 today for the Sixers as Sixers-Nets. It's a big one. We'll see who Brooklyn chooses to play. Hey, Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by the casino at Delaware Park. You can book daily fee golf at Wake Lake Creek Country Club, located on the grounds of Delaware Park. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. You must be 21 to play. Today's question, who wins tonight's Sixers-Nets game? A, the Sixers. B, the Nets. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Also AMA today at noon. You ask, we answer. The key, you got to ask. Facebook, Twitter, and the text line, three ways that you can get involved with the show beyond just calling us. And of course, we love the phone calls, but we love the Facebook texts and tweets and all that that brings some good fun questions for AMA. So make them some great questions, and we'll address that at noon today. Also, I got to address a Phillies issue that is an issue that has gotten not nearly enough attention. We'll get to that in a moment. Let's talk to Lenny and Conshohocken right now. What's up, Len?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How you all doing today?
Doing well, Lenny.
All right, boys. So first off, I need to tell all these Phillies fans to relax. We've played Braves, Mets.
I agree with that.
And currently we're 6-5. So just relax. We're going to get some bottom feeders and we're going to beat up on them. So everyone needs to literally take a chill pill for 1 second. But that being said, I do have a few issues that I want to address. Three, and then I'll give you my movie here, or my Philly guy. Mm-hmm. One is, I talked to you guys about this the last time I called. Didi Gregorius' arm is becoming a very, very alarming problem. He can't turn two on functional double plays. He's letting people beat out balls on routine short balls to short, and plays that are just to his left side are way too close to go across the diamond. Do you guys see this more and more?
Yes.
And it is. Yeah, I don't know that it's necessarily his arm. It's a lack of
range,
urgency at times, and a lack of range, Joe. A lack of quickness, and then the arm itself. It might not just be the strength, the velocity, but it's also the accuracy. He's skipping those things in there.
I agree, and it's becoming really, really alarming. The second thing that I noticed. And this is on defensive spot, is a ball yesterday, Adam Haseley didn't even move, and it landed 4 feet in front of him.
Bad.
This field issue is becoming such an alarming problem that, to be honest with you, they said they can't put Kutch in center anymore because he has no range. I would love the Phillies to put Kutch in center, put Adam Joyce as our starting left fielder, and bench Haseley and send Kutch back
like
down
it.
To the minors.
I don't like it.
I'm saying, but what's the alternative right now? Joyce needs to get in the lineup more than he is. Can't you agree on that?
No, I don't agree on that.
I don't know.
I mean,
he's looked okay.
Lenny, I think the best alternative, and I'm not saying it's a good one, I think the best alternative is Kingery, unless you make a trade. But they don't have a good option. They just don't. That's currently in the organization. They just don't.
That's fair. And my last point here is the lineup needs to be shaken up a little bit. If you've noticed, Bryce Harper's bat has been taken out of his hand in multiple instances when we have an opportunity to win or take the lead because they continue to intentionally walk him. He's also not getting good pitches because they can pitch around him. So they need to flip Hoskins and Harper in the lineup. Hoskins is red hot, and Harper is getting on base at an alarming rate.
Interesting. All right, let me think about that. It's an interesting theory. I mean, that's where you obviously need either Real Muto or Boehm to be smoking the ball behind him. It's something to keep our eye on. Lenny, give me what you got here, a fictional Philly connection.
All right, I don't want to go haymaker here, but I'm going to give you guys one here. from Breaking Bad, Mike was a Philadelphia police officer.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's a good answer. I don't remember that, but that's good stuff. Mike, man, he was classic.
Yeah.
All right, so let me give you also someone who was classic, and I hate to use the term was, but I got to. Because, John, there's a Phillies issue that we have not talked much about, and it is starting to strike me. It's not as big a deal as center field. It's not as big a deal as, hey, fourth and fifth starters are shaky. But it's not a small deal. And that is the formerly great, was great, Andrew McCutchen, who is old and looks old. I mean, this is a problem that is getting very little attention. Look, he's not hitting on offense. Okay, he's not hitting. He does have some walks this year. I appreciate that. But he's not hitting. He looks slow and old on defense. He looks sort of crotchety out there in left field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's obviously had some injuries. He's like 34 or 35. We know the deal about baseball.
Crotchety.
Well, I mean, the legs go. Like, you know, the legs go. And he looks to me like a baseball player that his legs aren't there.
Well, it looked like he was tight. I don't remember exactly when it was. Yeah. I know we're thinking of the same play.
Yeah, that's yeah.
It
was just slow.
His legs had tightened up or something. It was late in the game. He wasn't loose at all,
no.
and he didn't have the urgency that was necessary to get that ball in there.
Totally. And then so that's the defensive side. That of course that sort of flexibility and speed and all affects the base running side. But then there's the offensive side beyond just base running, which is, I mean, this is where it becomes a bigger issue. He's the leadoff hitter.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about the fact that this lineup hasn't hit much yet, and they have it. Now, we also talk about the fact that they have faced good pitching, National League East pitching, and that's entirely true. And I will continue to say, it's early. Take a little bit of a breath. But I got to tell you, I'm concerned about McCutchen. I mean, this lineup, you know, you need a guy on base to set the tempo and tone for the lineup. He's just not getting on base
sort
much
of
right
starting
now.
The season in a slump, and we thought he was the answer to our leadoff worries from a couple years ago when he went out,
and
it's not been what I expected.
It's not, and let me just say this, and then, John, I want to turn it back to you, but think about this. He played last year 57 of the games. He played almost the whole shortened season. Okay? He played 57 games. His batting average last year was .253. That was about the same as the prior year when he had a really good start before the injury. Batting average that year, .256. But his on-base percentage last year dropped by 50 points. His on-base percentage in his first year with the Phillies was .378. Last year, it was .324. That's not good.
Yeah, his career on-base is .376.
Which is phenomenal.
Right, I mean, now, his on-base is .308.
Yeah, I mean, look, guys, I love Andrew McCutchen. I am a fan. I mean, I admire this guy. This guy, when the Phillies were great, was young and coming up. And then when the Phillies stunk, this guy became, you know, I think it's fair to say, one of the top 10 players in baseball last decade. He was a great player.
He won an MVP.
Yeah. I mean, he's not a Hall of Famer, but he was a great ball player. And sadly, John, I just think we're seeing, you know, diminishing returns here now based on age and injury.
He's got a negative WAR. That's certainly not great.
I mean, he's the leadoff hitter.
Batting .156 as the leadoff guy, a lot less than I expected. And you'd hope that it's just, you know, he'll round into form. But, yeah, when I see him look his age out there, it's not encouraging.
Yeah. And by the way, I came in here today saying, you know, let's slow it down a bit. I guess I got to heed my own advice. I'm kind of freaking out.
The sky isn't falling, Jeff.
Well, I don't – listen, it's not – but I will tell you this, the McCutchen thing's an issue. It is an issue. He is someone I really like a ton and admire, but he should be batting seventh, and he's batting first. And that's if he's batting seventh, not as big a deal. It's still a problem, but not as big a deal. And then the bigger issue then becomes, wow, they don't have a plan B. They don't have a leadoff hitter. The Phillies are trying to win a division in a tight, tough division. I would make the case, unless McCutchen rounds into some form that he hasn't shown for 2 years since a big-time injury, they don't have a leadoff hitter.
It's got to be like Hoskins, right? I mean, who do you put there? And that's, you want him driving him runs. Like, who else you put there?
That is not. And the thing about Reese, he's going to get on base, but you're going to play station-to-station baseball. You're not going first to third. It's not going to be as easy to go from second at home on a single. I mean, they don't have, in my opinion, a leadoff hitter. Let's go to the phones. You can react to it all, 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Cordell in West Philly. What's up, Cordell?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? How you guys doing today?
Doing well, Cordell.
I want to go back a little bit. You know, before the season started, we talked about how great the Flyers were. Before the season started, we talked about how good the Phillies were, all right? And neither one of those teams are playing according to what everybody was thinking.
Well, I don't entirely agree. 6-5's not bad, and you know, okay, they can get back into first place tonight.
Well, I thought I heard somebody say at one point that we have an awesome hitting lineup.
Yeah, that has been very underwhelming, and as evidenced by not just center field, but as I'm pointing out, left field and the leadoff guy in McCutchen.
All right, and you guys blasted my boys all year long, all right, and didn't think that they were going to be able to do anything. You guys still don't think that they're going to be able to do
anything. Who
are
you talking about? I don't know what team you're talking about. Sixers?
You know what team I'm talking about, man.
I'm just checking, man.
You know what team I'm talking about. The Sixers.
So, Cordell.
The team I talk about all the time.
You think the Sixers are going to beat the Nets? The Nets are healthy in the playoffs.
I think they're going to beat the Nets tonight.
Well, they'll beat them tonight.
I think they're going to beat them in the playoffs. That's just
I know they have a chance.
I'm a fan. So I don't go into any game thinking that we're going to lose. Sure you did.
During the tank years, when the
I didn't.
Tank years. Sixers are running out there with 12 jokers and Golden State's Golden State. You thought the Sixers were going to win that game? Come on, keep it real, Cordell.
I didn't watch.
Well, I mean, okay, but I mean that's not addressing whether you thought they were going to win.
Listen, because I didn't watch because that was their philosophy.
I can't support
a team that their philosophy is to lose.
All right, no, that's your choice.
That's kind of stupid, idiotic. You play the game to win,
all right,
not to lose.
All right, Cordell,
so,
give me.
You guys need to back up off my boys a little bit. They're gonna win the Eastern Conference Championship.
Okay, I hope. Give me a fictional Philly connection here, Cordell.
I said law-abiding citizen.
Oh yeah, it's a good movie.
Appreciate it, man. Cordell, always good hearing from you. John, let me ask you a question. Playoff time.
I don't like that distinction. I mean, what he? Sorry to interrupt.
No, I agree with you. I mean,
he's saying he's a fan, so he believes they're going to win every time they take the court. Is that implying that I'm not a fan?
That's ridiculous.
I mean, I am a fan. I want them to win. I desperately want them to win too.
Right.
But I don't think they're going to win every time they take the court.
Yeah, he's on an extreme level there. And you hear that mindset from time to time. And his little escape hatch was, well, if I don't think they're trying to win, then don't press me to the wall
watch.
And saying, yeah, I don't watch and don't make
I'm not going to not watch.
Make a prediction. Yeah, well, to be fair to him on that, there were some people that chose not to watch during the tank years, and I respect that. I mean, if you know your team literally has no chance to win and it's not trying to win, you know, that's your choice. But, John, playoff time.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that of the four best players that would be in a Sixers-Nets series, Embiid, Harden, Kyrie, and Durant, I believe the first pick, hey, you're choosing sides, first pick is Embiid.
It's easy, yeah.
And that is, you know, that's a big statement, but I think it's pretty easy too. I mean, James Harden and Kevin Durant are magnificent. They're on a different level than Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving's a great player. He's going to make the Hall of Fame. But Harden and Durant are on a different level. Embiid is the first pick. The problem is the next three picks are Nets.
Like, easily.
Easily.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
It's a lot closer between Embiid and those three guys than it is between those three guys and Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris or whatever. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Look, we'll see. I mean, there's a micro tonight. I think the Sixers will win tonight, in part because I don't think the Nets are going to play their big three. But then there's the macro. What happens Eastern Conference Finals, Sixers and Nets? Now, it will help. Let me be clear. If the Sixers win tonight and have a two-game lead on Brooklyn because they got the tiebreaker, that's going to help June. I mean, it'd be great to have game one here. It'd be great to have game seven here. And you can only imagine that, you know, we could have a substantially bigger crowd at that point at the Wells Fargo Center. That's good stuff. But, man, those three guys.
I don't think the Nets realize that they're I believe they're playing with fire
a
little
bit. They're so confident, man.
They don't value that one seed the way that we do. We know that it helps us because it means we'll only play one between, you know, the top teams,
yep.
The Nets and Bucks.
Yep.
They don't care. I mean, the fact that they played Kevin Durant last night, knowing that we're the back-to-back, that suggests that they really aren't placing an emphasis on this game the way that we are.
I totally agree.
We're going to go up. We're going to go out at Wells Fargo and be fired up, and we're going to play great, and we'll be feeling pretty good about ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think we'll secure. I do think we have the firepower to secure the one seed, and it's going to help us. The Nets are messing around with something they shouldn't be taking as lightly as they are.
All right, let's go to the phones and talk to Steve right now. Steve, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys. In regard to the Phils, I definitely would say, you know, relax. I mean, I'm sick and tired of seeing the Stroman pitcher because he's dominant.
I really dislike him.
Man, I dislike
everything
him.
About
he's
him.
Almost as bad as Acuna. But he's just...
How about that Nemo running to first base? Whoever you say that guy's name.
Nemo.
I'll tell you what, though, man. That guy.
Face.
Dude, Brandon that Nemo. Guy gets on base.
He's really good. I actually admire everything about the way he plays,
such
man.
I wish he was on our team.
I wish we had that.
You'll take a try
think,
hard, right?
No. Think if we had him as our leadoff guy.
I know.
No.
He's outstanding.
I got to tell you, Steve.
I like that he runs the first base on a walk. I think I don't think it's uncool.
Steve, last week I was calling the guy a dork, and now I'm like, you know what? At least the dork gets on base.
A lot.
He's batting for something.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
He's real good.
All right, Steve. Go ahead, Steve.
So let's get into center field. It's fine. Roman Quinn should have been sent down as soon as he got taken off third base. The fact that he was pleading to get hit by a pitch and not get on, I mean, he's a disgrace. I don't feel sorry for him. He could have never stayed healthy years ago, and now he's just horrible. I mean, the fact that we have Mickey Moniak down in the minors, it is hashtag why not Mick. I mean, he couldn't mm-hmm. do any worse.
No, he couldn't.
And he's your number one pick,
Steve. I think they got to make a move soon. I think Girardi and Girardi and Dombrowski know a lot of baseball, and they know Roman Quinn can't play. They know it.
Yep. Yeah, and it's just a matter of time. And you're wondering, okay, what is it going to take for them to do it? And yesterday's game one, should have been a no brainer. Should have been okay. That's the last straw. And so it's going to be – I mean, but it is relaxed. The Braves and the Mets are really good. We're a good team. Nola's probably the biggest disappointment in the sense of every time you want him to step up and give you that, shoot, all he had to do was pitch five innings of no-run baseball or one-run baseball. He didn't have to pitch seven yesterday because of the seven-inning game.
Yep.
So that was disappointing, but – I think they're much better. The bullpen is phenomenal, and they're gonna be in the hunt all year. And that's all we can ask.
All right, Steve, give me a fictional Philly connection.
All right, so this is an older movie, but Stealing Home with Mark Harmon, and if you remember,
dude, I love it.
There's this scene with him and Harold Ramis that they open up the vet. And they actually have a scene in the vet where Harold Ramis pitches to Mark Harmon. It's a great movie.
Listen,
it's an old movie.
Steve, I appreciate it, man. I love it. It's in the 80s. It is so in my wheelhouse.
It could not be more in your
wheelhouse. I mean, it's Philadelphia. It's
80s.
Baseball. It's the Phillies.
It's the 80s.
It's the 80s. It's literally filmed on one of my grade schools, CHA. It's filmed right there. I mean, it's literally on the same field that I played on. I mean, they go down to the vet. They go down to the shore. Jodie Foster, who's one of my two favorite actresses of all time, is in it. I just love it. The kid that plays the young Mark Harmon, I used to play basketball against him. I know him. I mean, just, I love that movie, man. I love that movie. Let's go to Ja'Cory right now in Florida. What's up, Ja'Cory?
What's going on, guys?
Hi, Ja'Cory.
good, man. Feeling good, man. I watched the end of that Phillies game, man. Bad timing.
What'd you say, Ja'Cory?
I said I watched the end of that Phillies game.
Well,
bad timing.
Yeah, well, yeah, were you talking about the end of the first game when it was close and they lost?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I got you. I'm with you, man.
Yeah.
Ja'Cory, what do you got on the Eagles?
Right now, I think Richard liked this. I think we need to go to camp. I seen, like, guys are talking about, oh, we don't want to do voluntary workouts. I think the Eagles should. Like, the young guys are good. Like, the guys who already take their dues, the veterans, they don't have to go. They can go if they want.
Well, the thing about voluntary workouts is they are, you know, voluntary. So each player gets to make their choice. Now, there are a couple teams have banded together where all the players, and this came out yesterday, all the players have informed their organizations. Denver, Seattle, and Tampa Bay, the players bonded together and informed their organizations en masse, we will not show up for voluntary workouts, so just don't even bother with one by one. We're telling you as a team, we will not do it. And I think that's something that could spread, certainly. I mean, there's no doubt that players proved in 2020 that you can very successfully hold an NFL season without having OTAs in May or June. But there is a downside of that for the NFL. I'm going to address that in a second. Ja'Cory, give me a fictional Philly connection.
We need guys to be there.
Well, I would hope they would be. I would hope they would be. Ja'Cory, fictional Philly connection.
Trading Places, the movie Trading Places.
Tremendous answer.
Massive.
Yeah. Like a huge answer.
Tremendous answer. So let me tell you what I think is a real downside, and I would advocate the biggest downside if the OTAs go away from football. Because I do think the NFL, and I agree with you, John. Look, we as Eagles fans want the Eagles players, get your butt in the NovaCare Complex.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's train. Hey, we know we get you for the 3 days of the one.
I will feel personally so offended. Like, if this team, if we have guys on the Eagles team that think that they're where they need to be,
yeah,
that's offensive to
so
me.
So that's an interesting.
That's a total joke.
Yeah, that's.
Get in there. Get to work.
Look. I'm torn on that because I do think players proved you can successfully move through a season without it. I also think they could benefit.
I've seen players move through the offseason without doing OTAs, yeah. And they're guys like Charles Woodson.
Yeah, I got you. And look, there's no doubt the Eagles as a team could use all the team training they could get, especially under a new coach. So I hope that we get the players here in South Philadelphia more than just the three mandatory days, which I think are in June, if I remember right. But there's a whole nother side of this that doesn't get much attention, which to me is, aside from the fact that this year the Eagles are coming off a lame year and could use it, there's a whole other side of this that I think is an NFL issue. And I'm sure the commissioner is thinking in these terms. The NFL has done a magnificent job for years of owning the news cycle, of sort of never falling out of the news cycle. There's always something. A season ends, and then you're going to have postseason press conferences, And the playoffs are still going on, and then the Super Bowl happens. And then when the Super Bowl ends, you know, you're going to move to the combine not too long later. And you're going to, you know,
you have a combine.
Yeah, when you have a combine. You're going to have free agency, the build up to free agency, the early days of free agency. It's a frenzy. It kind of keeps going. You're going to get to the draft build up. You're going to get up to, hey, the schedule's going to get released. Hey, we got these new draft picks. There's OTAs. Hey, there's another OTA. Hey, there's another OTA. You get press conferences from that. You get the opportunity for media people to interview players. The coach speaks. The general manager might speak. And so it keeps the NFL is great at staying in the news. And I think one of the issues the commissioner is probably fearful of, concerned, look, the NFL is a behemoth. It's going to stay a behemoth. But it's going to take the NFL, it's going to be a little bit of a shot. And I know it would affect us in sports radio. If we don't, in May and June, have, you know, active either Eagles gatherings, Sirianni talks or Doug or Andy back in the day, whoever it is, it's going to strip the NFL out of the news a little bit. And I think the league is cognizant. See, they built it that way on purpose, in part to get in shape, right? Hey, let's get the guys together. Let's get in shape. But part of it is let's stay in the news. And if they're not getting together as a team, they're out of the news there for a bit. And that's not good for the NFL. 215-592-9494. Up ahead, I really hope that we have the OTAs. Up ahead, we'll talk to Spike Eskin in studio with us. It's the day of the Sixers' biggest game of the year, Sixers and Nets. Spike with us, your reaction to everything we were talking about, including if you want to weigh on that Eagles and the OTA issue in football, you can hit that. Everything else as well. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.